Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Welcome to the Michigan Man Podcast on Wolverine Sports Radio, a member of the VSporto Network, and in partnership with SB Nation's Maize and Brew, for Wolverine fans from coast to coast.
Go Blue, and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Mike Fitzpatrick. The academic year is officially over, and spring sports are in the home stretch of their respective seasons. Joining us today with a lot to talk about is senior editor John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. As we were getting ready to tape this morning, Hunter Dickinson made his announcement. No surprise, because last night he tweeted out his goodbye to Michigan and the fan base. Then Thursday morning he announced Kansas would be his next stop. Maybe someday he'll discuss what led him to leave Michigan and why he chose Kansas. Most observers I talk to think NIL was the driving force. Others aren't so sure, because Michigan did sit down with Hunter recently and, according to all parties, made Hunter aware that he was wanted in Ann Arbor and that staying at the same time could be very profitable. So, as I said, maybe someday we'll get Hunter's full version of the story, but for now, he's decided Kansas is where he wants to be. John Borton and I discussed the Hunter situation when we taped, but his announcement was made after that. Hunter aside, there is still a lot to talk about when it comes to what's going on with Michigan athletics. Joining me this week to do just that is the longtime editor and good friend of our show, John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. So stay with us. Joining us on our game day segment this week is senior editor John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. John, great to have you back as always.
Excellent to be with you, Mike. Enjoy kicking it around with regard to Michigan athletics. And I know people get excited about what's to come and also what's been going on.
Well, and football in many ways is still a hot topic on the Michigan athletics scene. A lot of that because of the NFL draft last week. It was another sign of just how healthy this program is right now, isn't it, John?
Oh, there's no question. Michigan leading the Big Ten in getting guys drafted, and really just an excellent showing from them start to finish. You look at, and it's always fun. You look at where guys went, and just a new beginning for them, and from Mozzie Smith going to the Cowboys in round one. And then you look at Luke Schoonmaker, who, you know, had some injuries his last year, but to be able to go with the 58th pick overall round two, also to the Cowboys, that's kind of a fun start for a couple of former teammates and I guess still teammates. And then from DJ Turner to Jake Moody, a kicker being taken in the third round, and certainly Mike Morris, he really came on and rose up fifth round to the Seahawks. And, you know, right on down the line, a lot of guys, people pay attention late, and you see Ronnie Bell get taken in the seventh round by San Francisco, going out there to join Jake Moody. It's very fun to watch, and it is very much a measure of the success that Michigan has gained these last couple of years under Jim Harbaugh. Michigan has always produced the talent, but boy, it's really come together to turn into Big Ten championships and the playoffs and all of the actual on-field rewards that you get, and you know, this is the icing on the cake for these guys to be able to come and do what they have done in the draft.
Well, John, it was also a history-making draft for Michigan, with both kickers being drafted, which I think was only the second time in the last 40 years that's happened. So that's very impressive, and it also clues you in as to how good our kicking games have been the last 5 years.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You know, I'm working on the football preview edition of our magazine coming up, and, you know, you get to the special teams section, and it's like, wow, this is all new, because you're saying goodbye to Jake Moody and Brad Robbins, who went sixth round to the Bengals. And it's like that you didn't even think about that. You're going to plug those two guys in and just know that you're going to get results. And that was a couple of record-setting special teams guys. And now you're turning that page. So absolutely, it's been a combination that I think Michigan fans, just as you go into the season, it's like, okay, well, check that box. That's all. That's good. That's all taken care of.
John, were there any surprises to you as far as, you know, what round some of these guys were or weren't picked?
Well, I would say, I mean, I guess I'm a little surprised that Ryan Hayes dropped as far as round 7 going to the Dolphins. I might have seen him as a little bit higher pick. Frankly, you know, commentators and those looking in were surprised that Jake Moody went as high as the third round, despite everything that he's accomplished and all of that. You know, kickers don't tend to be a super high priority for drafting, because teams figure, okay, well, I can sign this guy either as a free agent or scoop him up late rounds, that sort of thing. But San Francisco really made it a priority to go out and get Jake Moody in that third round. So I guess that would be one on either end of the scale, one that maybe went a little higher than a lot of people expected, and maybe a guy that you thought might be taken a little bit sooner than he was.
Well, it was no question a great draft. You know, what's even better news, John, is that's wrapped up, and then the next day Pro Football Focus is out saying next year, or this coming season, Michigan could have as many or even more players drafted, which says a lot about what the talent level is in Ann Arbor right now, doesn't it?
Oh, there's no question about it. The talent level, and it's getting showcased, and you're having, you know, we've talked about the transfer portal, which is not being very kind to some teams in the Big Ten at the present, but certainly Michigan is a destination spot. You've got guys coming in that are several year starters that can plug in and really help this team. So when Lloyd Carr used to say, when you win, there's enough for everybody. And I think that is really showing up, not only in the transfer portal additions, but the draft evaluations, the recruiting that Michigan's doing right now, right up there with the top programs in the nation in terms of who they're able to get commitments from right now. There's no question. It's a situation where they have had it rolling the last 2 years. There's nothing that can be said about them negatively in recruiting, unless it would still be, well, they're getting to the playoffs and they haven't won. That's the next step. But you've got, whether it be a transfer or whether it be that young recruit that is looking at programs saying, well, this is a place where I can win. I can win big. I can be showcased in front of one of the largest crowd in the nation and millions on television, all that kind of thing. You've really gotten it to where people thought Jim Harbaugh would have this program when he came in. It might have taken just a little longer than expected, but they are rolling now, no doubt.
No, absolutely. I mean, last year at this time, people were sort of wringing their hands with the class of 23, thinking, oh my gosh, how can we come off a Big Ten championship and appearance in the playoffs and not have a top five class? But when you look at this year's class, the way it's shaping up, and of course, there's plenty of time before kids actually, you know, have to sign on the dotted line. But as of right now, the class of 24, shaping up to be one of the best in the country and the best at Michigan in a long time.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You just look at some of these guys they've already gotten commitments from on at key positions. Jaden Davis, the quarterback out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and people so excited about him and what he can do. The national ranking, 28th in the country overall, at least in the on-3 listings, and the fourth best quarterback prospect in the nation. You got Brady Prisco, the big tight end that just recently committed. Jordan Marshall out of Cincinnati as a real top running back, and you just go right down the list, and there is a high level, as you mentioned, of talent headed Michigan's way. People very, very excited about this recruiting class. It's getting done early, and that just leads to more commitments. You know, then you can be choosy about those latter ones, because there are always some top names hanging around and waiting to decide. And if you've already laid a really good foundation, and you've had, I guess the foundation started in the results the last 2 years, but then if you can show, okay, these are the guys that are on board, these other guys come in and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. So yeah, they're in a really good position.
Well, John, Jim Harbaugh continues to broaden the college experience for his players. He talks about that a lot. And once again, the team is traveling together, and from all reports, especially following what Chris Ballas is saying, the tour is wrapping up this week, but it's been a huge success, hasn't it?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, something very different. You know, you were having these international trips for a while, and different experiences in whether it be Rome or South Africa or you name it, and then to turn it to kind of regional last year, and for these guys to get the Michigan experience in the northern part of the state was very different. But in this, to hit some points around their own country in different areas, I really enjoyed seeing a clips from the guys going to the stock market in New York and that experience and just things that they learned. And it's and really invaluable lessons and educational experiences. And I think that's what Jim Harbaugh's after. Every time they've done this, it's been more than, hey, we're gonna take you and show you some wild places and just have fun. They've had a lot of fun along the way, but there's always been an educational aspect to it. And I think that's a big deal. You could tell these guys were enjoying the experience, but getting their eyes opened to some practical things that they can apply and different areas of interest that they might pursue.
Well, aside from the cultural and the educational aspect of it, you hear players say all the time after these trips, great bonding experience too.
There's no doubt. I mean, you're thrown together in a different world. I mean, it's one thing to be together in football, and I've talked to players for decades who talk about that shared experience. And it's kind of, they talk about the shared misery that brings you closer, whether it be two-a-day practices and just tough things that you are enduring to prepare and get ready. That is, that's a great bonding time in itself, but in a very different way. Here, you're thrown together into, whether it be a South African beach, or whether it be visiting Rome and seeing sites that are centuries older than your own country, it's very different. And it takes them out of their settings and interactions of the norm. And so, no question, it's the bonding aspect takes place in, it enhances, I would say, the football experience of bonding.
No doubt about that. Well, moving away from football for just a few minutes, John, because there's a lot of other stuff going on in the athletic scene, let's talk a little about basketball. You know, coming off a disappointing season, we've seen key players declare for the draft. Hunter Dickinson enters the portal along with some other of the bench guys. Juwan has a big, big rebuild on his hands, doesn't he?
There's no question. Yeah, that it's kind of the ultimate punch in the gut was Hunter Dickinson deciding that, you know, it'd been one thing if he had said, okay, I want to make some money in playing basketball now beyond NIL money, and I'm going to give the NBA a shot or go to Europe or whatever it is. But to opt for the transfer portal, that was a big kind of an eye opener, and you know, a little tough if you're a Michigan fan and you're thinking, no, you want to be here and you want to win here. And you know, we haven't had a final decision there, but I think you're looking at a situation where Hunter Dickinson more than likely is going to be at one of these schools that you're watching on TV as opposed to in the Chrysler Center. Obviously, you know, you get a guy like Kobe Bufkin that comes along and just really starts to put himself in position to be a leader and be a top guy on this team, and he's gone. There's a tremendous churn on rosters these days. Mm-hmm. And you can start to understand why a guy like John Beilein with 40 years in the business took stock and said, you know, I see what's coming and maybe it's time to get out of it. Juwan Howard, I think, is much more, maybe more equipped to deal with it because having been in the NBA and understanding there's a natural roster churn that he's more capable of dealing with that or attuned to it, I guess. But there's no doubt you got to hit the portal. You've got to build with veterans all the while building in the younger players that you hope will stick around, but there's no guarantee of that if they reach a certain level of success early on.
No, I think we all have to agree. This is, you know, it's the current state of college basketball. It's changed dramatically in the last few years. The portal, you know, one and done players. And, you know, it's hard for a lot of we older fans to embrace some of these changes. This is the new normal for all of college sports, it seems, but it really impacts smaller rosters and programs like basketball more significantly, doesn't it, John?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just as getting that one or two players in recruiting, you always thought, well, now this, you can change a basketball team around in a big hurry by an injection of a more limited number of talent than you would have in football. You want a really good overall big recruiting class, but you can flip it several notches up with a couple of key players in basketball. But by the same token, you know, you get hit like the Wolverines have this particular offseason, Hunter Dickinson, Kobe Bufkin, Jed Howard, guys that, you know, a different era might have stuck around longer or just been people that you could count on over the long haul. And now you're scrambling to plug in guys. So whereas, like I say, the fix is quicker in this sport, when you lose sort of the offense that you had, and you the key performers that could have come back for another year, that's tough because you're really starting over again as far as guys that could be your top scorers.
Oh, absolutely. And as you mentioned, if there's anyone equipped to deal with this, it's a coach like Juwan Howard, who's coming from the NBA and knows what he has to do to mesh this thing back together. So we'll watch how it develops before next season gets underway. Moving over to hockey for just a minute, John, Brendan Nerado had the interim tag moved during the postseason, which was great to see, and was named head coach officially. And despite losing in the Frozen Four, this is a team that really did in so many ways exceed expectations because, yes, they were talented, but they were very young. But the future of Michigan hockey is incredibly bright, isn't it?
There's no doubt about it. And it's such a sport that you can get that bounce or that break or just the where the puck hits on the which side of the post, all of that. And yeah, there was some disappointment that you couldn't overcome Quinnipiac in the semifinals of the Frozen Four. But as you mentioned, a lot of excitement out of this team all year long to win the Big Ten tournament, to advance in the NCAAs, and the talent, no doubt about it. I think the what I hear from fans is sort of the frustrating side is Michigan has been so loaded with talent in hockey for some time now, and you've had that national title drought. They're knocking on the door, and they want to get over the top. But at the same time, it's hard to complain much about the hockey that you got to see all season long out of this team. And I think it was a foregone conclusion that, as you mentioned, Brandon Nerado was tagged as the guy that is going to continue this thing going forward, because he will, you know, now he doesn't have to worry about, okay, am I going to be the coach going forward? Doesn't have to worry about this in my first time through as the head coach here, getting used to a lot of things. And I think, you know, this is a team that will be able to hit the ground or hit the ice going full blast next year.
And hockey's sort of pretty much like basketball, John, where you watch this very talented young team play, and it's sort of a double-edged sword for Michigan. They have so much talent on the roster. How much of it after 1 or 2 years is heading to the NHL, and then you're rebuilding again? So every year you say, oh, we're almost there, and then we lose great players to the NHL. That's just the way it is, too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's you want to see the greatest players in your own team's uniform, but there are some sports, and more in recent times, where it's like, ah, man, could you be just a little more like Wisconsin basketball at times, where you're really good but not great, and these guys stick around 3 and 4 years. I guess the great quandary of some of these sports that you want to be, you want to have the best talent, but when you do, you risk losing them sooner than you'd like.
And I guess the best or the better news is that when they lace it up next year, they have maybe the top recruiting class coming in, so we'll do it all over again with a lot of talent still on the ice for Michigan. So we'll see how Coach Nerado puts it all together again. Let's talk about Coach Kim Barnes of Rico for a minute too, John. I you know, a lot of times I think we gloss over her, and she deserves so much credit when you look at what she's done in her tenure at Michigan. Another great season, somewhat unexpected, but man, has she built that program on a solid foundation or what?
There's no doubt. They are in the greatest run, really, in the history of Michigan women's basketball, which didn't have a long and glorious footing in the early years. Women's basketball in Michigan was a struggle for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that it is a mark of her, Kim Barnes-Arico's success, that we kind of are sitting here saying, yeah, another really, really good, really solid season. As opposed to leading off with, wow, it's an amazing breakthrough year for Michigan women's basketball. No, they've gotten there. They've gotten there to where all of a sudden the expectations are. Yeah, they're going to be very competitive. They're going to hold their own in the Big Ten. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. And so that's itself tells you that it's a very, very solid program. I remember football in the 90s when people were bemoaning the 4-loss seasons. And what that meant was, you're not one of these teams where you're not historic Purdue, where I have Purdue fans that are my buddies, and they say 4-loss season, we would have been celebrating that, you know. And that's kind of when you look at Michigan women's basketball, the fact that, you know, we look at this and say, yep, another good season for Coach Barnes-Errico. You're looking for that now. It's not a shocker. It's not the biggest headline news, because they've got that foundation and they've come along, and that's kind of the expectation now.
Well, John, as we close the calendar year on Michigan athletics, there are so many other sports who enjoy great levels of success: swimming and diving, wrestling, men and women's gymnastics. They just continue to compete at an elite level, don't they?
There's no doubt about it. You look around, and they got on such a spate of Big Ten championships there for a while. It was like, wow, who's next? You know, you're checking all those boxes. And there's lots of competition, and that means for those programs that want to and need to pick it up a little bit, it's like they are very aware. Talk to the coaches, and they say that it's a competitive thing. You see other programs around here winning Big Ten championships or making the NCAAs and making a run and that sort of thing. It is very much an inspiration and a challenge to your own program. Okay. What about us? Let's get this thing going.
Well, the winter sports enjoyed a great degree of success, and of course, it's spring now. And when you look at softball, the beginning of the Bonnie Thole era underway for Michigan, and they're wrapping up the regular season this week, 24-21 overall, 10-10 in Big Ten play. And as we all know, what they say about following a legend, never easy. Following Carol Hutchins has been difficult so far for Coach Thole, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's been a struggle. This, you know, you look at the record you mentioned, the 24-21. That's not what you're used to seeing out of Michigan basketball or Michigan softball at this time. I have a great deal of confidence in Bonnie Thole, player here, coach for years and years under Hutch, and I think she knows the levers that need to be flipped and the things that they went through this year. I think that you know, she will definitely address and hit the recruiting trail harder than ever and get that going, because I mean, it's just what I was talking about before. And with softball, there's the extra challenge of, okay, well, you've got to keep up with what the unbelievable run they've had over the past several decades. And so, you know, it does get your attention when they have a season that dips a little like this one. So I think they'll be looking to come back stronger than ever, and you know, really both through recruiting and building with the players that they have, look to take that a big step up next year.
And pretty much the same for baseball. Tracy Smith and the team in the home stretch right now, 21-20 overall, 9-6 in the Big Ten. Just like softball, it's a coaching transition year, and Eric Bokich is a tough act to follow.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, and there were, you know, people that were very much thinking when Coach Bokich took things so far into the NCAAs that, man, this has got to be a kind of a yearly tradition here, and he's got to be around for a long time. But those are things like player movement that you do not control, and he took advantage of an opportunity, and now I know Ward Manuel always goes out and gets the best people that he sees for those situations, and Tracy Smith, it's going to be the same sort of thing. Okay, tear this apart. What did we do that we have liked? What needs to happen yet? So I think he'll be looking for to take it up a notch again very soon.
A final question before we let you get away, John. NIL is still something a lot of our fan base struggles with. I know you hear about it a lot. I get plenty of communication asking questions, and many of them are waiting for Michigan to do more. Do you think the athletic department is doing enough right now, or is there still more that we're going to hear about or that needs to be done in NIL?
I think that that's a very fluid situation. I think there's more that can be done. I think a lot of people realize it, and they're balancing laying a good foundation with laying a responsible one.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Harbaugh's declared it. Ward Manuel has certainly confirmed it. This is not going to be a situation where, like in a lot of places, Michigan uses NIL to recruit. It's not going to say, okay, superstar high schooler, we're going to pay you this if you come here. Now, I think they're going to establish more and more levels of expectation for those who stay, I guess, and become veterans. And that will still probably have them at a disadvantage with some. But you combine it with success, like you have with a football program, and you can see what that's producing in the way of recruiting right now. So I think it is getting used to a new era, and I think they're working at it from both ends, both in developing their program to a higher level and also educating those who are out there that are potential Wolverines that this is going to be very good for you if you come here and establish yourself.
Well, we'll keep an eye and an ear on that and see what happens over the coming months, coming years, as NIL continues to develop. As you said, it's a very fluid topic. With us today has been senior editor John Borton from the Wolverine magazine. And as you can tell, we covered a lot of ground today. Now we're sort of heading into a lull as far as the Michigan athletic scene is going. Not a lull for you, John, as you're getting the great preseason magazine together. So we all look forward to that in July. And thank you for your time and look forward to our next visit.
I do as well, Mike. Thanks for having me. And absolutely, those football fans that want to look forward to the magazine, we are in full bore getting ready to turn that thing out.
And we can't wait to see it. On Quick Hits today, we've reached that time of the year when, other than spring sports wrapping up, it's the quiet time of the year around Michigan athletics. Sure, football recruiting will remain newsworthy, and we'll cover that. And with each week that passes, we will be closer to kicking off another season. But it's time to kick back and enjoy some time with family and friends for a while. That means we're on our summer schedule, with two shows a month until August, when we go back to weekly programming in preparation for the start of, yes, another football season. So our next show will air on May 18th. So that does it for this week. Make sure you tell your Michigan family and friends about the show and join us then. I'm your host, Mike Fitzpatrick. Have a great week, and hopefully soon, warm weather will decide to visit us here in Michigan and everywhere else you tune into the show. Until we meet again, take care, and as always, go Blue. Thanks for joining us today on The Michigan Man, here on Wolverine Sports Radio, a member of the VSporto Network, and in partnership with SB Nation's Maize and Brew. Our listener lines are open 24-7 for your calls at 313-263-4842. That's 313-263-4842. Or email us at themichiganmanpodcast@yahoo.com. That's themichiganmanpodcast@yahoo.com. The Michigan Man Podcast is produced at the studios of Robin Lynn Productions, Allen Park, Michigan, and is not affiliated with the University of Michigan. Go Blue!